There are more than a billion people in China, so when people ask, what's China thinking, there should be about a billion answers. But China is also a repressive society in which dissident answers and dissidents are suppressed. Mark Leonard has been trying to find out what many Chinese may think about the world. Mr. Leonard is executive director of the European Council on Foreign Relations and author of the recent book, What Does China Think? Mr. Leonard joins us from our studios at the BBC in London. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
You say that despite the repression of intellectuals, and for that matter, the imprisonment and even slaughter of almost a whole generation of intellectuals, there's still a lot of intellectual ferment going on in China.
Absolutely. I mean, it is a repressive country. There are a lot of taboo subjects which people don't write about or talk about. But nevertheless, in spite of that, there are very, very lively debates. I mean, in economics, for example, there's a really interesting debate between the so-called new left and the new right. That's what their enemies call them. And they basically believe in the need to have economic growth above all else. They don't want to redistribute money from the rich to the poor because they think that if the rich are getting richer, money will trickle down to the rest of society. But on the other side of the spectrum are an increasingly influential group called the new left, who think that proceeds of growth need to be spread much more evenly. And they want to develop a social safety net, and they also want to have a much more environmentally friendly model of economic growth, and that you have to change the incentives for party bosses so that they don't just get rewarded for growth, but they have to get rewarded for delivering for ordinary citizens and protecting the environment.
There are many Chinese in your account, even in the leadership, that worry that if they're not able to make some real changes in the environment as it affects people day to day in China, it could lead to political uprising.
It already does. I mean, there were 87,000 protests, apparently, according to the Chinese government last year. That's 300 every day. One of the biggest reasons for social unrest is related to environmental problems and the fact that they can't get access to clean water, that there isn't enough fertile land to feed the country. It is something which the state has pledged to try and solve.
Hmm. China clearly has a lot of hard power, money, military might. Does it so far have soft power, which some foreign policy analysts suggest is more enduring, by that cultural and intellectual power that transports itself?
One of the liveliest debates amongst Chinese intellectuals is about soft power. They argue that the United States has captured the moral high ground in international politics, and that allows America to decide what is responsible and what's irresponsible behavior, which means that China constantly finds itself on the defensive. And that's why they've started
issues like Darfur and Sudan.
On Darfur, on North Korea, on whether China is allowed to increase its defense spending. The Chinese people and their government are so focused on their own development that what they see when they look at Myanmar and Darfur is oil, natural resources that they need. They think it's hypocritical of the West, given that we went around and colonized different parts of the world and extracted their natural resources, and our concern for these humanitarian causes is very much a recent phenomenon. But they are also changing their attitude. So they now have more peacekeepers in UN missions than any of the other permanent members of the Security Council. But I think that's more to do with the protection of their investments and a desire not to be seen as hostile by Western nations in the court of international public opinion than it is by a belief in the world's responsibility to protect innocent civilians from genocide.
You take a look at a map and Taiwan seems a fly against the elephant hide that is China. A rich fly, to be sure. Why does the Chinese leadership still get so exercised about Taiwan?
In a way, it's, I suppose, one of the most neuralgic issues for the Chinese people. I mean, the Chinese thinkers talk about the danger of separatism, and they're talking about Tibet, they're talking about Taiwan, they're talking about Xinjiang, which is the Muslim area of China. And they're absolutely paranoid about these ethnic minorities breaking away and of China going the way that the Soviet Union did and breaking into its constituent parts. Taiwan symbolizes all of that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the effect of the Olympics this summer is going to be when you've got reporters from all over the world who inevitably are going to start filing dispatches about the grand golden city of Beijing you see hosting the Olympics and the shame of the shanty towns, the people who've been thrown into prison, all of those stories?
I mean, the Chinese government took a big risk in inviting 20,000 journalists to come and report on these issues. And I think that the real contest in the Olympics is not going to be for who gets the most medals on the medal board, but who gets to define what the big story of the Olympics is. Is it going to be a story of how China has emerged as a prosperous, high-tech, globally responsible superpower? Or is it going to be of the story of a repressive regime that is undermining human rights, not just in its own territory, but all over the world?
Mark Leonard is director of the European Council on Foreign Relations, and his latest book is What Does China Think? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.